Hudson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington, and now begins the mourning. Five people have died in a shooting at a bank in Louisville, Kentucky. Governor Andy Beshear.
This is awful. I have a very close friend that didn't make it today. And I have another close friend who didn't either, and one who's at the hospital.
Prayer vigils were held Monday evening in Louisville after another devastating mass shooting.
We heard a click, and the lady next to me turned around and said, "What the hell?" And then he just started shooting.
333's main Old National Bank. Another caller advising possibly 8 to 9 people have been shot.
A routine morning at Old National Bank in the city's downtown turned into terror when a man started firing a rifle in a conference room. Roxana Saberi, CBS News, Louisville, Kentucky.
The governor of Massachusetts, Maura Healey, has signed an executive order ensuring medical abortion will remain legal in her state.
This political intervention into basic medical care hurts women at what can be a difficult and heartbreaking time, putting those experiencing pregnancy loss through greater discomfort, greater pain, and in some cases, threatening their lives.
The order is a response to a ruling from a federal judge in Texas suspending the FDA's approval of an abortion drug. Chill out to keep your brain healthy, says CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
A new study in the journal JAMA Open Network finds people 45 and older with consistently elevated stress levels are 37% more likely to have cognitive problems. Not all stress is bad stress. Scientists say a little here and there can be positive, motivating you to finish a project or hit the brakes to avoid an accident. But now they've documented chronic stress can lead to memory and thinking issues.
A Tulane University study has found rapid acceleration of sea level rise along the southeast and Gulf coasts, breaking records over the past 12 years. Tulane professor and study author Asunke Dangor.
10 millimeters of sea level rise over the past 12 years mean 5 times the rate that has been observed at the same locations over the entire 20th century.
The researchers say it's partly a natural phenomenon that's been worsened by human-caused climate change. New research finds that the regions of the U.S. that have recorded the greatest decrease in opioid prescriptions also had the largest decline in deaths by suicide. Some doctors were worried that suicide rates would increase when they began prescribing fewer opioids. But researchers at Columbia University found that changes in opioid prescriptions and suicide rates tend to move in the same direction. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and maximum success with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means...
Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match. Only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
Tide Power Pods have 85% more Tide.
Who needs that much more Tide?
Well, when giving your muddy dog a bath turns into you getting a mud shower, yikes, you're gonna need more Tide. When your wine tasting becomes a wine spilling. Yeah, you're gonna need more Tide. Or if your favorite shirt is your kid's favorite napkin. Greg, I'm gonna need more Tide. My mom gave me that shirt.
It's a mess out there. Tide Power Pods have 85% more Tide versus Tide Pods.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station. My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 78. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 56 tonight, mainly clear skies. High temperatures reach up to 81. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Upper 70s. Thursday, turning cooler. Friday, with highs in the mid 70s and scattered showers possible.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Currently, it's 50.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Pat also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin for the noon hour on this April 10th, Monday. And I am so looking forward to our next conversation with our next guest, because since, you know, the protests and everything started in Iran last September, I've wanted to try to talk to people who are in Wisconsin, who are Iranian, and their experience from living here while this is going on. And then I found out recently that one of the largest international groups at UW-Milwaukee is Iranian students. And there was an article written up in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and then a mutual friend of ours introduced us. But Seppi is here in person, and she's getting a PhD in chemistry, which sounds very difficult.
Very smart.
Very smart. And I'm so excited to talk to you. We've talked a little bit on the phone previously, but I would love to just hear, like, how did you end up in Milwaukee?
Oh, good question. Hi, everyone. So my name is Seppi, as Kristen said. So we moved to Milwaukee like more than 6 years ago with my husband. He got admission in UWM. So we moved here, and then I got admission. So now I'm here in PhD program in UWM. I'm doing it in chemistry. Yeah, that's it.
And that's it. So you moved here. So your husband was first getting also a PhD of something?
Yes, he got his PhD already. Yeah.
Okay. And so, but where in Iran were you guys living prior to moving to the States?
We both live in Tehran.
Tehran. Yeah. Okay. And so, and Jane had a question.
I'm curious, Seppi, that because the regime is so controlling, I was surprised how many students they allow to leave the country to go to school elsewhere. You would think that they would want to keep a tighter grasp on young minds. You might get some bad ideas.
So it was really funny that during this protest, there was a big protest in really top five university back in Iran. And there was one rule, like punishment for students to do not leave the country. Imagine it's a punishment for them to stay in Iran. It is really
saying the punishment is to stay.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So there was one rule. It was recently added to these rules and everything. But still, people are trying to do their best to leave the country, even wherever they can. Because nowadays, everything is awful. Financial issues. educational problems. People prefer to leave the country as soon as they can.
And is that the most common way of people feeling like they can, how to leave the country is basically to get like a student visa, whether it's to the States or somewhere else in Europe or anywhere in the world, and like have that be your like sponsorship to get out and then potentially just move permanently?
So one of the easiest ways, I think, for immigration to U.S. is getting it by the visa student. But for the Europe and Canada and other countries, I think they can apply by other ways as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then fast forward, you've been here for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to September 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk me through when Mahsa Amini first, like that news story first happened, her death was mm-hmm. all over the news, and then the protests started, as far as your initial reaction, were you in touch with your family? Like, I can't even imagine as far as like, cause even as someone who's not, has nothing to do with that country, I think mm-hmm. the world watched in support mm-hmm. for a lot of what was going on with the protests and the bravery of so many people. But what was it like actually having friends and family who were still there?
Mm-hmm. I know. First of all, it was not initiated by September. Every year in 44 years, Islamic Republic are killing people, killing innocent people. There are no human rights, no women rights in Iran. So every year we had this opportunity to do the protest, and because people are not satisfied. So, one of the biggest things that happened, it was in September 16th by killing Mahsa Jina Amini. And after that, there were so many protests. They arrested people. They killed people by shotgun or by execution of them. And the worst part for me was there was no internet connection. They shut down the internet, and I couldn't talk to my family. It was awful, especially because my dad was alone there, and I was super worried about him. And after that, I found that my friends, my family are involving in the protest, and I was super worried about them. They tried to get my cousin's phone. They tried to catch him, or he got shot by bullet shots. Even my friends, they were arrested. So I was super worried about each one of them. I mean, it was awful days. It's still awful. But yeah. The first 6 months was all the time back-to-back protests. And on each of this, I was worried about my family, my friends, even the people who are who I don't know them. You know, they are innocent people who they're just looking for their basic rights. You know,
absolutely. I mean, and that was, I think, what I say when you with what coverage there was. And at first, like so many news stories, there was a lot of coverage, mm-hmm. and I certainly saw a ton through alternative medias like TikTok and people be able, because we talked a lot about the Iranian diaspora and how, because so many people leave for school, mm-hmm. the ability, I think, to carry the story and carry individual stories, even as you said, with your friends and your family, of trying to break free of any suppression of the news stories that was happening inside Iran, mm-hmm. stories still being able to get out, still being able to spread through TikTok and Twitter and trying to bring awareness, because the brutality of it
exactly
matched with or juxtapositions against the bravery of teenagers. And do you think that it is a tipping point? Do you think what do you think in the last, because you, as you said, it's been 44 years. They've been killing people, that dissenters, for the last 50 mm-hmm. years. But as far as, was there anything different or special of the last 6 months that you can identify from here? Or was it just that it finally got more attention and broke through in the international media?
Mm-hmm. So at first, the difference between this protest and compared to 3 or 4 years ago, it was about just people, I think teenagers feel hopeless. That's why they initiate everything. They are super brave, and I'm so proud of them. Because they're thinking, if I cannot change this regime, there is nothing for me. There's no future for me. So if I have to live here, I have to fight for it. Otherwise, there is no future for me. So I prefer to be dead if I have to be and live in this situation. That's why they are super brave, and it's totally different. There are numerous teenagers who were killed, which is really crazy. Because I think they were depressed because there is no hope for them. There is no future for them. They have to fight for that.
And so when you say the no future and no hope, mm-hmm. is it because, so like we said, there's a lot of Iranian master's and PhD students at UWM, as there is around the world. Is there kind of a big like class disparity as far as people who have access to, like, as they get older, they get through university and then they can leave the country. And so there is more hope. There is more of a feeling like I can get out versus the people who feel hopeless because there isn't that pathway.
Yeah, exactly. I think most of the people do not have this opportunity to go abroad. Or they prefer to stay Iran because they love Iran.
Yeah.
So they want to fight for that, to stay in the place they love. So I do love it, Iran, of course, but there was nothing for me there.
And that's actually, I don't want to, because we only have 2 minutes until we go to our next break, because that is, I think, as we talk about the conversations of critiquing the government versus loving your country, and both things can be true. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any culture or nation that I feel like of my friends who are Iranian that is more true of people who love their country and love their culture, but hate their government.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And so, but I would also just love to, when we come back, we have 2 minutes, because I want to hear more about, like, what do you feel like you can do here? What have people been doing here in your community besides worry? Because that doesn't always feel productive. But then also, as the news has not centered on this as much, what any of us can be doing? Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes it's you share a TikTok, you share a story, you talk about it if you have a radio show. But, like, what more could people be doing? Because it is such a gross violation of human rights, it feels like, from everything I understand it to be, and that we just kind of sit here and watch instead of knowing what to actually do. So we'll talk about both those questions when we come back. We are talking to UWM PhD chemistry student Seppi about her experience of living here while watching, can we call it a revolution?
I would call it.
All right. Yeah. We're going to call it the Iranian revolution that is happening still today. So if you have any questions, if you would like to text in 844-967-2789, but she will still be here when we come back from the break.
Baby, I'm done. I gotta go home. Let me go home. It'll all be all right. I'll be home tonight. I'm coming back home.
Max Inc. Radio presents Bomblastica 2023. It's Max Inc.'s 27-year anniversary party, and you're invited. Bomblastica at the Wisco on Willie Street, Saturday, April 15th. Max Inc. Radio's Jimmy K. Rocker and Terry Barr will broadcast live 6 to 9 p.m. Then live music from Eclipse record recording artist Carbellion. With special guest Milwaukee's Wizard Hammer. Like a fire, and Mad City's own hard rockers Ironclaw. Bomblastica 2023, Saturday, April 15th at the Wisco in Madison. Sponsored by Rocker Vodka and Hotel K Pet City. Presented by Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Partly cloudy skies today with highs around 78. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 56. Daytime highs approaching 78. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Dry with temps well above average Thursday and Friday, and highs from the low 70s to the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Iranian PhD student in chemistry. Still sounds really hard. At UWM, UW-Milwaukee, Seppi. And we're talking about what it's been like, I guess, as far as balancing being a student, being abroad, while still worrying and trying to stay active as far as everything that's been going on in Iran for years, but also since Mahsa Amini's death last September. And so I guess what has that looked like as far as balancing concern with doing something or feeling like you can do something?
It was really horrible and awful because I felt that my family and friends are suffering some pain back in Iran, and I'm here, I cannot do anything. And after sometimes I told you that on my birthday my friends sent me a picture of her shirt, and she got shot in the protest. And during those days in UWM, students trying to do some events to amplify the news to U.S. That what's going on in Iran. And I was super hopeless and super disappointed. And I was like, why we are doing it? There is no reason. Who cares what's going on in Iran? And after I saw those pictures, my friend convinced me that you have to do that. You are over there. You have. You can use your stage. This is great opportunity for us to share this news with the world. The world should know everything what's going on in Iran, because back in Iran they cannot say they are against this regime, and they cannot say that they have problem. They are not happy there. But we can share this story with the world. Maybe if the world can hear us, they can do something. At least maybe they tight the situation for Iran, for regime, to do something, stop killing people, or maybe we can change their regime. This is the only thing that we can do, and I try to do my best to amplify the voice of my friends back in Iran. Yeah, there is nothing else we can do here but just talking about what's going on. Yeah, exactly.
Which is, and I think that's for any of us who are still learning about it and trying to keep it top of mind despite all of the conflicting and competing news stories that are happening in the world, in the country, in the state. And I guess that kind of, it's kind of a touchy question that we probably don't even have. It's repeated an hour conversation probably, but I think it's interesting to me to try to wrap my head around what's going on in Iran and what true living under a truly oppressive government that is killing its own people looks like versus the conversation we had in the first hour on this show, an ongoing conversation in the this country right now, is access to abortion and women's rights and LGBTQ rights and so many different things that are getting chipped away at with our competing parties that want to the world to look a certain way. And so in living here, having come from Iran and lived under the Islamic Republic, do you kind of roll your eyes at us when we talk about certain political struggles? Or what does it feel like to live here in comparison, if that's a fair enough way to frame it?
So basically, living here and problems here, it's not comparable in my mind that to Iran, because here we do have basic rights, but back in Iran, we don't have anything. For abortion, for everything that it's a problem here, and I can understand how huge it is. It's of course a problem back in Iran too. The abortion is a big deal in everywhere. Of course, in Iran is also a problem there. And I believe that women has this power that all the religious, all the people wants to take them from them. They want to take this power out of them. And I think it's not really fair in nowhere. I mean, it's not about US, it's not about Iran. Everywhere there are some rules which is not fair for women. And I'm so proud of Iranian women that they initiate this revolution. And it's not about hijab. It's not about women nowadays. There are a bunch of other problems back in Iran, but it's been initiated by women.
And we've watched it, and it's inspiring, it is. To say the least. And so I guess on parting words for today, what can any of us do as far as keeping continuing to get educated, keeping awareness, as far as continuing to support what's going on over there?
I'm not activist to give a really reasonable suggestion, but the only thing that as a Iranian lady, I can say that you can just support Iranian. If you you're in touch with any Iranian, you can support them. You can understand them. I know that there are many students in UWM are depressed because of everything is happening in Iran, and their advisor, their colleagues cannot understand them. At least if you wear their shoes, you can understand what's going on in Iran, and you can be a little bit nicer.
Hug an Iranian.
Yes, please.
All right, Seppi, thank you so much for taking
Thanks
the time to spend with
me.
Us today. This is, it's so important to hear. It's so special to be able to hear firsthand.
Same here.
Thank you for sharing personal stories and your personal experience. It was really moving.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy. You know what? We should make an emergency communication plan. That way we're ready this year. At my dorm, we have emergency kits for earthquakes and wildfires, but I'm sure there's something more local I can send you with a link.
Okay.
Smart.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm Naheem Hines, professional football player and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care, and they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A blend of clouds and sun today with highs around 78. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 56 tonight, mainly clear skies. High temperatures reach up to 81. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Upper 70s. Thursday, turning cooler. Friday, with highs in the mid-70s and scattered showers possible. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 50.
8 p.m. always on the Civic Media app.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And our next guest is the executive director of Movin' Out, an organization offering housing solutions for people and families with disabilities. And so I first read about this, I think, in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel was recently. One of the recipients was featured, and it was such a great story. And so we thought we would reach out and hear more about Movin' Out. And so, Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you today, and happy to talk about the work of our organization.
Absolutely. So I guess just to start with the foundational question of why is housing so important, and why is it such a foundational piece of providing stability for so many other things, whether it's for, I mean, this is for anyone. Obviously, you guys mostly work with people with disabilities, but as far as having a place to call your own, and why is that so important?
Absolutely. Yeah. Safe, stable housing is a social determinant of health. That means it's an important factor for people's overall well-being. And it not only impacts folks' physical health, it's an important factor in mental and emotional health, and it provides the stability that we need for success in other areas of life like employment, education, etc. So I'm sure that you and your listeners have heard how difficult unstable housing can be, for example, on children in school if they're not stably housed, or if there's a, you know, a disruption in their housing. So that's really the key to success in other areas of life, because it provides a foundation, a literal place from which you can enjoy and find success in other areas of your life. Just imagine, you know, trying to find and keep a job if you don't have a permanent address, or you are stressed by your housing situation. It's a source of comfort and well-being. And then the flip side of that, right, that if we don't have access to safe, stable, affordable housing, the stressors that creates have a lot of ripple effects for people's lives.
Absolutely. And so then with moving out, what are the different services or programs that you have under the organization?
Sure. So we actually are a little bit of a unicorn in the fact that we offer this particular set of services and activities. So we were started by a group of parents of adult children with disabilities, and I can say a little bit more about how this all came about later if you're interested. But the organization started out focused around home ownership opportunities for households that include someone with a permanent disability. And so we are what's called a HUD certified housing counseling agency. That means that our housing counselors have extensive training and continuing training every year, and they have all passed a quite rigorous exam to obtain that certification. So they're highly trained and highly skilled, and work with individuals and households through a range of housing related issues. We have a focus on home ownership with our housing counseling program focuses on helping folks to become homeowners and to maintain their homes. So we have down payment assistance programs that we offer. We are kind of a pass-through agency, so we have funding from a variety of sources for down payment assistance. Some of those are public sources, some of them are kind of public-private sources of funding for down payment assistance, and then we administer those funds and help get those funds to the families that need them to make purchasing a home affordable, makes the mortgage payments affordable. And then we also have funding from similar sources for maintaining the safety and accessibility of homes. So as people's needs change over time, or as their home ages and needs improvements to remain safe and accessible, then we can help with financing with money for those repairs or modifications. And that goal really of that program, again, is that long-term housing stability, so that somebody doesn't have to give up their home because it's no longer safe or accessible, doesn't meet their needs any longer. We can help them make those modifications so they don't have to move. As disruptive as a remodeling project can be, it's a lot less disruptive than trying to move.
I think I heard once that like the top three things you can go through, like three most stressful things you can go through in life, is like a divorce, a death, and moving.
That's very true. That's very true. Yes. Yes.
We're talking to
often folks are dealing, often those things are related, right? Like somebody loses their housing because of a divorce or a death in the family. So often those things are stacked, and those traumatic events can really, really take their toll on folks.
Absolutely. We're talking to Catherine Auerbach, who is the executive director of Movin' Out, which is an organization offering housing solutions for people and families with disabilities. And so you all are based in Madison, but you work statewide, right?
Correct. So in addition to the housing counseling services, that includes information and referral services for folks who have questions about housing. And those services are all provided free to folks who need them. We also have a portfolio of rental properties, and we are a real estate developer of multifamily rental properties. So we have a relatively small portfolio of single family homes, duplexes, some like 4-unit apartment buildings that are rented primarily to people who have disabilities or to a household that includes someone with a permanent disability of any kind. And then we also have, we have been involved in the development and operation of about 1,500 units of apartments across Wisconsin. Most of those are in kind of the southern part of the state, but we have several projects in the works in the northern part of the state and northeastern part of the state.
Got it. And so who, because as we said, someone with a disability or as a family member who has a disability. So what does it take to qualify? Because I know I have multiple family members who, one's still a minor, but as far as, is it Down syndrome? Is it physical? Or what is kind of the application process to be considered an applicant for either the rental units or some of the down payment assistance programs? What does that look like?
Sure. So our organization works with folks who have a permanent disability of any kind.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be a particular type of disability, just as long as it's designated as a permanent disability. So this wouldn't be somebody who, you know, is maybe on, you know, a short-term disability situation where they're expected to overcome those challenges. But there are also typically income thresholds.
Okay.
And very broadly speaking, the qualifications are 80% of the area median income, or sometimes it's referred to as county median income, or below. So if the household income is in total at 80% or lower than the county median income, that's the broad qualification. The multifamily rental properties that we develop and operate are usually mixed income. So what that means is that there are units that are designated for different income levels from 30 to 80%, and sometimes a few market rate units included as well that wouldn't have any income criteria at all as far as a maximum. So, and we feel like that mixed income is a really important approach because diverse communities are really the most healthy, vibrant communities, and we want to help support that kind of diversity in a community and an inclusive community.
Have you found, what is it like to work with inside the communities or the different municipalities? Is it something that is easier some places, harder other places, or is this something that's kind of been needed and different city councils and mayors are excited to be able to work together with you?
It's kind of a mix. So again, the multifamily properties, mixed income, our organization, we don't include any more than 25% of the units designated as supportive units for people with disabilities. And again, that's because we're really focused on community integration, and we don't want any type of segregation or congregation of people with disabilities or that lowest income level. Really, a diverse community is what we're trying to help support. However, as soon as you mention affordable housing in some communities, in some neighborhoods, we do experience quite a bit of pushback because there are just misunderstandings of what that means. I met a young person recently, like within the last 5 or 6 months, a young person in law school, and he asked me what I did, and I mentioned affordable housing, and he just got this look on his face that told me that he had a very negative perception of affordable housing. And I asked him what his perception was, and he mentioned Cabrini-Green in Chicago. And so, you know, there's still that kind of perception out there that it's, you know, it means things that it just does not mean. Yeah. And so we have a lot of education to do sometimes in those communities. However, you know, more and more communities are starting to understand the importance of having housing that's affordable for the people who work in the community. Teachers, healthcare workers, retail workers, hospitality, you know, those kinds of folks that more and more are struggling to afford to live near where they can find employment. And that is a serious problem for many communities in Wisconsin that more and more local governments are starting to recognize and begin to address and reach out to organizations like ours to help them close that affordable housing gap in their communities.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was actually going to ask, what can, because I feel like affordable housing, not just for people who have disabilities, but in general, has been, we've talked about it often on this show as far as how many more units we need across the state, because there is just a lack. Housing is expensive, let alone not only just renting, but owning a house. And so I was going to ask, what can different communities learn from your programs to expand it beyond people who just have disabilities, but people like working people, people who are, you know, in like living under the poverty belt, of like, what can they learn from you? We only have a minute left, but it's interesting that they're already reaching out and asking for help, because you moving out has been able to kind of figure it out.
Right. Yeah. It is not, there aren't easy solutions, because in many communities, there's just a lack of funding to help support this kind of housing, because it does require subsidization to make it work economically. But, you know, show up to those public meetings when you get those announcements about the developments and the, you know, the proposals. Show up to those public meetings and voice your support. Reach out to your local representatives, whether it's a city council or whatever your local government structure is. Let them know that you support affordable housing in your community, and show up and speak out in favor. It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Catherine Auerbach, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll put more information about moving out so you can read more about the organization. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for including this topic.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country, and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 79. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 56 tonight. High temperatures reach up to 80. Tomorrow, clear skies. Mainly sunny skies Thursday, with highs around 77. 73 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 54 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And let's take a big breath.
Yes.
I feel like this has been a heavy Monday.
Well, unfortunately, we had to start off with another mass shooting.
Yep.
That never makes it easy.
No.
And now apparently, I'm getting this from Raw Story, a shooting outside of a community college in Louisville has left one dead outside with multiple suspects on the loose. This is hours after another shooting at the old National Bank location that left five dead, including the gunman, and I believe eight injured at this point. So we will keep you updated as the day goes on. But we were talking off the air. It was so nice to talk to Sebi.
Yeah.
About the situation in Iran. And I think so many people still operate under the assumption that the vast majority of Iranians are supportive of that regime. And that's just not the case.
And we didn't, she and I had touched base on the phone before she came on the show. And it's as simple as, I remember when the U.S., this goes back to December, when the U.S. beat Iran in the World Cup. And there were images and video of Iranians in Iran cheering for the U.S. win because they were supportive, because they saw it as a slight against the Islamic Republic.
And
she confirmed that. And she said there was people who got in trouble for that.
I was going to say that's so dangerous in a country like that.
And I think we didn't get to get into it as much as I wanted to because time goes very quickly on this show sometimes. But I think that is the prime example of when we talk, you know, we talk about patriotism and we talk about what is it to, you know, the stupidest thing I think I ever hear anyone say is, you know, if you don't like this country, get out, versus the idea that you can work, you can love your country and want it to be better. And I think when I think of any of my friends who are Iranian, whether their families left in the 70s and they've been in the States for decades and generations, or people like Sepi who have come more recently, and our friend Asan, who introduced us, came, you know, left as an adult and is a dentist and lives here, and he talks, you know, as how different it is and everything, but exactly that same story as far as like no one supports the government, but you just put one foot in front of the other and you keep going. And so it was really interesting to be able to talk to her, especially because, as she said, she's not an activist.
Right.
She's just a normal person trying to go to school.
She's a student. Yeah.
And so if you missed any of today's, we had three great guests. We talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly
Definitely.
The first hour.
Listen to Dr. Lyerly.
Yeah, she's wonderful. So we talked to her in the first hour about the mifepristone limbo.
Because
I think it's not banned yet, so I don't want to say it's banned.
Right.
You can still get it. It is in limbo as far as dueling court cases that are trying to protect the FDA approval of the drug versus the challenge to overturning that approval. So we talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about that. Then we talked to Sepi, who is a UWM PhD student, about the ongoing struggle and revolution going on in Iran. And then we just talked to Catherine Auerbach, who is the executive director of Moving Out, which it was interesting when she did say that, because that was literally going to be my next question of what can communities learn from your organization on our affordable housing problem,
right?
Which we have
yes,
for
we
all
do.
Sorts of people, not just people who have disabilities. And obviously their organization is focused on people who have disabilities. But as far as the help with down payments, because that is, you know, it's not that people can't make mortgage payments because they're making it in rent payments. It's that upfront
20%.
20%, yeah. You know, and it's like, why is it expected that I can pay $1,500 or $2,000 a month in rent, but the bank won't trust me to do that for a mortgage that could be even less because I'm not getting gouged by a landlord?
Yeah, it's trying to accrue that nest egg of that big down payment that I think is just crushing for most people.
Yeah. So you can listen to any of those interviews or the whole show as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or on Spotify or Apple or wherever you find podcasts.
Right. And we're going to keep watching this, obviously, this Mifepristone limbo that we're in right now. And we've already acknowledged that neither of us are lawyers. But from what I've been reading about this, Kristen, if this is allowed to continue, the banning of this drug, that means that essentially any doctor can come forward and say, this medication harmed a patient over here, and therefore I want you to ban this medication now. So it would
open... Which pharmaceutical companies can't love that.
Right? But they could be getting challenges right, left, and center for a whole bunch of medications if this is allowed to proceed.
If this becomes precedent.
If this becomes precedent, yeah.
Yeah, pharmaceutical companies are definitely not going to like
that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think they would be very happy.
Because it's
about
not
that.
Even doctors. It would be individuals, right? Arguably, couldn't you say, this was an FDA-approved drug. I took it. I was harmed. It shouldn't have been approved.
Yeah, I don't see why it would have to come from physicians if there's going to be a challenge towards it. So it will... These are interesting days. Lots going on.
Lots
going on.
But in the next hour, we're going to have some fun.
We are going to lighten it up.
We're going to lighten it up with the very controversial topic of participation trophies.
Oh, dear.
Should we ban them? Should we no more participation trophies? You either win or you don't win. That's how life works. Because in North Carolina, there are three... Republican lawmakers who have introduced legislation to ban participation trophies.
Wow, and that seems intense.
That seems a little too far that we need to make a law around this. But the concept in general, are you for or against participation trophies for children? Is it a good pick-me-up because you put yourself out there and you tried even though you didn't win? Or is it creating a bunch of softy wusses that need to toughen up and be more competitive? So we're going to talk about that at the top of the next hour. You can already text in or call in 844-967-2789 if you have strong feelings or a strong story about a participation trophy and if they're good or bad for children. And then later in the hour, we're going to talk about silent barbers. If you could opt in... And go, whether it's your dental hygienist or your barber or anything where you have to make small talk, if you could just opt in and say, I don't want to talk, would you use that option? Would you like to have that option? This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll talk about both those topics and more when we come back for our No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You joined because you were not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans
WFHR,
Affairs.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.